Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day, I'm sorry, it's 13. Jesus is going to reveal himself to the two disciples on the road going to Emmaus. And behold, verse 13, and behold, two disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now verse 14 tells us, as you would read the full chapter, you know that Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been crucified. And these two disciples are talking about it, discussing the events of the day, of the week, and how that all of this has now been transpired. Thank you, Chuck. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, read it out loud, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, in these three verses, we already have a pattern of a message. There is a marvelous, fantastic event that has transpired. And what is it? What's happened? The crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the glorious, what? Resurrection of our Lord has transpired. And now then, we see in verse 15, Jesus himself draws near and goes with them along the road. And there is my message. We are all on a pathway of life. Every one of us, we are walking a pathway called life. In this particular portion of Scripture, we see it is a road called Emmaus, and two of the disciples are on this road walking, just like Janice and I would be walking on the driveway of our drive, or out here on the driveway of the church, walking together. You too walk in this life. Wherever the road of life takes you, we are walking this road. Do you get the message now? Everybody say amen. Absolutely. And we find here where the purpose of fellowship is already beginning to beautifully and blessedly become evident when Jesus Christ joins up with two of us. How many does it take for Jesus to come alongside of us? Two or more are gathered in his name. What? There he is in the midst of us. And I'm thankful today that I have had a gracious companion and comforting friend about all of my life. I'm that close to being 65, and I'm bragging on it, but I can't wait for my party. Just make it sugar-free, somebody said. I'm telling you, saints, a long, long life. I've been serving God since I was knee-high to a duck. It's been a long time, folks. And my constant companion on life journey, on my Emmaus road, has been Jesus. And that's my purpose for preaching this message today. And isn't it wonderful that when Jesus shows up, there's fellowship. There's communion. There's a time of rejoicing. Hallelujah. When you come to church and you feel the presence of God so rich and glorious like you have felt this morning, don't the problems just sort of just leave? Oh, the pressures of life don't seem as much when we are in the presence of God at church, when we are enjoying rest. God help us, we who think we have to work 7 days a week, night and day on a job somewhere. God has commanded that we rest 1 day of the week. And everybody said amen. Amen. The point I'm making is, isn't it wonderful that when we do rest and we come to church and we sit like this together, some of us with our arms around our spouse, or we're holding hands with our spouse, or we're close to our loved ones. Close to our loved ones. I see my son with his arm around grandma back there. Son, don't stop. That boy knows what side his bread is buttered. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And I see Remy with his arms around Sonia and Sister Linda with her arms around their daughter. Folks, that's why I'm preaching today. It's called a relationship. It's called a family of God. It's a good thing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All of this, when Kathy, all of this, when Jesus shows up. What do you mean, preacher? Everybody say that.
Amen.
Thank you. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not, what?
Know
him. They do not know him yet. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? Oh, my, my, my. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not thou known the things that are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we hope, verse 21, we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company amazed us who were early at the sepulchre, verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and said that he was, say it. He was, say it. He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the woman had said, the women had said, but him they saw not. They did not see him. And now then, verse 25, we take a little break and we see where that Jesus begins to reveal himself. And incidentally, how will Jesus reveal himself to you? There is only one way that he will and can, should, and does. It's through the Word of God. We're going to take a little break right there with our reading so we can catch up with ourselves. And as I have already shared with you, the disciples are on the road going to Emmaus. The events of the 3 days is Easter. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that we are living in a time of hell. Hear this message, folks. We are living in a time of Matthew chapter 24. If you don't know what Matthew chapter 4 reads, then I would adjure you to go home today and read chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. And then turn CNN on your TV. And folks, I'm here to declare that an awesome time is ahead for us. I am not here to scare you. If I was, I would. If I could, I would. But it isn't my business. I'm only a messenger. Somebody say amen. Amen. I am not the Messiah. My business is not saving. I'm not in the saving business. I am in the preaching business. And that's my purpose and methods today is to preach this gospel. Perhaps today, this word that I preach will become a seed germinating in your heart. And will become fruit so that you can make a change toward God and leave your sin and leave the hell of this life that you're living behind you. And everybody said amen to that. Amen. You cannot pass this off. Christianity is a real factor. The benefactor of religion, if you please, the benefactor of Christianity, if you please, the reason you live is Jesus Christ. Yes. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. Like I said a moment ago, we all agreed that there are many denominations represented here today. Amen. Just know that I'm preaching one message to all of us. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Say it out loud. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Absolutely. Absolutely. We see in verse 31. Let's jump over there. And their eyes were opened. Look at it. Look at it. And their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened. Folks, we will meet Jesus today. We will meet Him today, the one who was raised from the dead, praise God. And we have a faith that He has given us that moves us beyond doctrine. The Bible has been given to us for one purpose, and that is to discover who Jesus Christ is. The Bible has been given to us to discover who He is, to move us from doctrine to a person. I enjoy Bible doctrine, but I enjoy communicating and talking and walking and loving on my Jesus. Amen. Yes. Jesus is right now in my heart. Hi, Mr. Big. He lives right down there in my heart. Mr. Big is there. Hi, Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean is right here in my heart, saints. You cannot deny it. Amen. Amen. Deny it. Jesus lives in your heart, and that's the fruit and the purpose of Easter. Now, it would help me, but certainly help you, if every now and then you could smile. I've still got 30 minutes left. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I've got some helpers out there that's going to be my prompters. And they're going to give me the preacher, read the, I'm going to do it, honey. That's where I'm headed. They had hoped. Did you see it, folks? Verse 31. Now look at verse 21. What does it say? But we hoped. Verse 21. But we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed it. You know what, folks? I'm preaching that the Word of God is that part of the revelation that God is speaking to us. Here is the only way that he can do it, through the Word. Now, what I want to share with you for a few moments is this. Jesus is here. He's not there. Jehovah Shammah is right here, if you please. And I'm so glad that you and I, we have had a vision of God and our eyes are opened. It took the fellowship of the Son of God, the risen Savior, for a few moments to walk with these precious people, to reveal himself to them. But it wasn't until their eyes were opened that they recognized who he was. And it's not a hope anymore, folks. Can you say amen? Yes. It's a reality. These disciples hope. They hope that Jesus would not have died. They hope that he would not have died. Why would the disciples hope that he would not die? Every one of the disciples had an envisioned purpose. Their purpose was that their young prophet would become a warrior to deliver Israel from the hand of the oppressing Roman army. And everybody say, amen. The oppressing Roman government was hard on them. And they were hoping for deliverance. Amen. Praise God. I enjoyed that. Sheldon's book, WWJD. What would Jesus do if he was here today? Is that the book? I mean, I have read it.
Yes.
The classic, the book. What would Jesus do if he was here today? Amen. I've got some good news for you. He is already here.
Amen.
He is the fact of what would he do if he were here. The fact is, he is here, and the problem here in all of this is, let's say it like this, Jesus, tell me what you are doing now so I can do it with you. Not what he would do with us, or with us, if us doing it, everybody say yes.
Yes.
With him, give the Lord a praise.
Yes.
I want to know what he is doing. And that is the real question this morning. What are you doing now, Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what he's doing. Are you ready for this? Now, folks, we're going to do some preaching. Ephesians chapter 5. You don't have to turn. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 says that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I want to tell you what Jesus is doing now. Jesus is going about doing good. Everybody say, good. Jesus is going about doing good. That's what the Bible says. Do you want to link up with him? Do you want to associate with Jesus? Surely you're not sitting out there with this thought in mind. Dear God, thank God, Mama, it's only once a year that I have to come to your church. You just may as well smile or I'll preach to 1:30. Smile at this preacher, folks. Face the facts. I know the human heart, praise God. But I also know the risen Savior. And when the risen Savior becomes real and living in your heart will change. I'm preaching today that we want to do what Jesus is doing. What is he doing? He's going about filling his church with the Holy Spirit power. He's filling his church with the Spirit of God. He's filling his church with the fruits of the Spirit of God. And I'm here to tell you that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now you can shout amen.
Amen.
Do it anyway while I take a sip of water. Let me see what your reaction is going to be next. Because I'm fixing to tell you right now that the works of the flesh is sin. The works of the flesh is sin, and all sin is the natural outcome of an active principle within us. There is sin within every one of us, and unless the blood washed throng of Jesus Christ has set us free, folks, I'm here to tell you, look at verse 26 if you would. Ought not Jesus Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, son, and to enter into his glory? I'm free today. I'm free by the Spirit of God. I'm set free from sin. There is no besetting sin in my life because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me, praise God, and cleansed me from all righteousness. And I'm here to declare that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ in my life. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Woo! Go ahead, praise God. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. So you want to be actively involved in what Jesus is doing? Somebody say amen. Amen. Then pick up your book. If you're tired, come on, this is good for you. If you're tired of being tired, if you're tired of being sick and tired, then it's time to do something about it. I offer Jesus. I'm not going to make it easy. You yoke up with Jesus Christ, my brother and sister, you are about to do that. Because there is one stronger than you are, it's called the devil, who is out to kill you. He is out to kill you. He is out to do you in, to destroy you. But I'm here to tell you the greater one. There is a greater law called life in Jesus Christ. The law of life in Jesus Christ is stronger than the law of sin. And if you don't know Jesus in your heart, if you don't know Jesus in your, if you have not made a profession of faith in your heart, then you are serving Satan. And the greater one is him ruling your life until Jesus. Until Jesus. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go back to 25. Amen. Now, here's the point. You said, well, brother, that's 4 points already. Well, hang on. We've got about 4 more to go. Amen. I promise you victory today. I promise you, you can walk out of this place. Folks, you can walk out of this place with a smile on your face like a gopher that's digging in new dirt. I mean, you can enjoy life once again, but you're going to have to make a move inside of you. You're going to have a change on the inside of your heart and life before the outside of you will express it. That's good preaching. And everybody said amen to that. Verses 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And what? What did he do? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Folks, how did these two recognize Jesus? How did they recognize him? He expounded the word. It was the word. It was the word of God. It was the word of God. And he began at Moses, and he expounded with the prophets and the Psalms and the laws. He preached and he ministered the word of God. And it wasn't until all of these things were said concerning himself did they realize. They realized it's Jesus. Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Something was happening. It's called fellowship. Say the word fellowship.
Fellowship.
Something is happening. It's called fellowship. Now, folks, I've got a half a page of notes here that we're just going to let slide. But I'll say it like this. If you want to know more, then see me after church. If you're wanting to get out of this place, then I invite you to come back. But you'd better be careful. We had some friends, me and Benny Hoyt and Gordon Neal back there. Gordon, are you asleep? Okay, buddy. Me and Gordon, I'm teasing with you, Gordon. Me and Benny Hoyt and Gordon Neal and Adrian Selinsky down here. We would go to the creek every Sunday afternoon, and we would dare one another who'd be the first to fall in. Just a bunch of boys hanging around the creek bank, and you know what's going to happen, John? Sooner or later, one of them's going to get pushed in. And doggone, that starts a water fight beyond us, and it's all we were waiting on to fall in. And if you keep coming back to this church, if you keep coming back to this place, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fall in. You're going to fall right in with the rest of us and act like walking around with a smile on your face like a possum eating yellow jackets. You're going to do it. Somebody say amen. Because your heart is changed on the inside of you. And no longer do you preach death and hell and destruction, but you preach Jesus. You live it and you want to live it. Amen. Because the day spring from on high is alive. The light of the day has come to dispel all gloom and darkness. Praise God. The scripture the scripture is fact. We have been given the promise that there is a better day coming when we surrender our hearts to Jesus Christ, because the Father will send you a comforter, one to guide and direct you. Amen. And that is beautiful. It's amazing, though, that it... Now watch, here's the point. It's amazing that the disciples, the two disciples, did not know who he was until he expounded the word. Now, we'll close in a few moments. Everybody sighed a sigh of relief now. Praise God. Let's begin at verse 28. Now, folks, this is the best part of the sermon coming up right now. The best part. Don't leave me, folks. Don't leave me. Beginning at 28. And they drew near unto the village to which they went. And he made as though. Now, watch these words now, saints. We're building the conclusion on these words. Now, they're drawing close to home. Everybody say home. We're going to Emmaus, and we're drawing close. There are two of the disciples, and Jesus has joined himself up with them. He has revealed himself to them by the word. And now then, they are so excited about hearing the word of God, that they do not want him to leave. I told you it was going to get better. Oh, who wants to preach? No, it's my turn. And verse 28, and they drew near unto the village to which they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. What a message. What a message. Do you want Jesus? Then you are going to have to turn aside and call on him. Now, he will draw you. Oh, what does Revelation 3:21 say? To everyone, know that I am knocking at your heart's door. All I can do is knock. If you will open up the door of your heart, I will come in and I will sup with you if you will invite me. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, folks, do you see it there in 28 and 29? Look at it, 28. And they drew near unto the village to which they went, and he made as though he would have gone. He would have just gone on. He would have gone on. But look, saints, there's a 29, a verse 29. But they, what's that word? They did what? What did they do? They urged him. They constrained him. And the two disciples said, no, don't leave us now. Everybody say, no. Don't leave us now, baby. Oh, hallelujah to God. I love Jesus. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. 29, but they constrained him, saying, what? Remain with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to pick up. He then went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and everybody read 31 and shout. Yeah. You have to shout this morning, shout now. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. He's God perfect. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it amazing and isn't it a wonderful thing that when Jesus showed up, there was rejoicing. Amen. There was a desire to have him. Praise God.
Do we dare take time to turn the TV off? Come on, preacher, you've done good up until now. Quit your meddling. Hear this pastor out. It's time for a life change.
What do you say that comes out of your mouth every day on the job? What life do you live on the job that would reflect a lifestyle that is pleasing to God?
Sobering. sobering. And I have some good news for you. The only way that your lifestyle will change is for you to ask Him to come into your heart, to come into your life, to make a change of life. You can start now, and you can do it because every one of us who names the name of Jesus Christ has done it. Thank you, Jesus. These travelers made time. They made time for Jesus. And folks, today when I sit around the table with the children and with the loved ones, I'm going to enjoy my daughter's cooking, my wife's cooking, grandma's cooking. I'm going to enjoy the Carrasco's cooking. I'm going to enjoy the Fuji's cooking. I'm going to enjoy Peggy's cooking. And folks, if you've never eaten her cooking, you are to be pitied. I'm here to tell you now. I am going to sit around the table and enjoy eating. But more than that, I'm going to enjoy what? Jesus. Fellowship. I'm going to enjoy Jesus because He is going to be at that table. We're not going to talk about the world and sin of this world. We're not going to talk about you. We're not going to talk about hurt. We're not going to talk about your heartbreak. We're going to talk about Jesus. Because it's fellowship time. It's time to enjoy the table. It's time to enjoy one another's presence. And when Jesus shows up, it's always that way. And everybody said amen. You ready for this? I know you're not. But I'm going to tell you. A very good friend of mine. In fact, he's the richest man in the world that I know. The wealthiest man that I know. As a friend. He called me aside this week and he said, Nolan, I want to help your church. I'm going to give you $600 a month. I want to pledge $600 a month. Would you take that, my brother, he said, and invest in the paper, in the Tomball Magnolia Potpourri, and put an ad. He said, we're going to buy an ad for your church. Aren't you glad that something exciting is happening in this church? I whispered in Shannon's ear a while ago and I said, honey, tell me that my bubble is not going to burst. Look around. Folks, look around. Look in our little church. Look. Look around. Look. You're not looking. You're looking at me. Look around. See how many people are in this building today. It's a miracle. Somebody say amen. Whoa! Whoa! It's time for us to come down out of the grandstands. It's time for us to go out into the playing field. And it's time to play ball. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's time for you to get excited about Jesus Christ. It's time for you to make a decision to support something besides cable television. It's time for you to support something. More! Saints, it's not what would Jesus do if he was here. I'm here to declare to you he is here. It's here right now. It's time to find out what he is doing, and let's do what he is doing. And everybody said amen. Would you like to stand? Amen. Turn in our hymnals to what selection is that, Janet?
345. I am thine, O Lord, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer. 345. I am thine, O Lord, praise God. It's 12 o'clock. A miracle has transpired. I've quit preaching by 12 o'clock. That is a miracle. Everybody said amen. Mary Kay shaking her head. All right, folks. All right, let's just...